This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
While most of Radio EcoShock is devoted to science, we all know there are deep movements within us that science can't really touch or fulfill. And our next guest has been a green activist for 30 years. He founded the environment group Earthways Foundation in California back in 1985. More recently, Andrew Beith has been considering our green needs for spirituality. For example, he's the author of the book Consciousness in Action, The Power of Beauty, Love, and Courage in a Violent Time. Now Andrew is publishing a trilogy of books which look at a new story of creation, one based on the amazing discoveries of science, to be sure, but also new ways of looking at the world. So let's have a conversation with Andrew Beith. Andrew, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
How did you get started in the ecological movement, Andrew?
You know, I write about that in the first book, and it's about a personal transformation, which I think most of us have to go through to escape the very significant influences of enculturation. In my case, I was, you know, I went to a prep school. I went to one of the best colleges, Duke University. I went to graduate school at Wharton, at the University of Pennsylvania. I joined a corporate firm, but none of that was meaningful enough. So at about age 30, I dropped out. I took 10 years of traveling the world, learning to write poetry, and seeing, trying to develop a new worldview. So that by age 40, I came back into sort of the social stream, and that's when I began the nonprofit work and the activism.
So is the Earthways Foundation still going, and what does it do?
Yes, it's been going the entire time. We do projects, small projects usually, but things that exemplify or model the philosophy that we're talking about today. For example, in Central America and Guatemala, we've been working in a village for 15 years, just helping village women with various aspects of their life, how to store grain by building grain silos so they don't lose the yearly production to rodents and that sort of thing, new health criteria and new forms of cooking stoves so that they're more sustainable, more healthy, that sort of thing. In Los Angeles, we were a major group in the Biona wetlands fight, which the last remaining wetlands in Los Angeles County was being developed with 30,000 people, and we were able to knock that down to about half over 10 years and get the most delicate of that wetlands saved to a sustainable project doing well. Projects like that, we have about 12 projects. So we helped to start a group named Amazon Watch, which was part of Earthways when it started. It's now blossomed into its own very large, independent, active protector of the Amazon, much like Rainforest Action Network. And other groups have started with Earthways and then gone out on their own as independent groups.
What are social and environmental entrepreneurs? That's something else you founded.
Yeah, that's an organization that when Earthways does its own projects, and a lot of friends or other people that heard about Earthways were coming and saying, can you give us a temporary tax-exempt status so we can take in donations and then start our work? Well, we did that for a while, but it became very distracting, so I started a new organization called SEA, Social and Environmental Entrepreneurs, about 15 years ago. It's now grown into 80 different projects. So it's projects like the one I was describing where individuals have an idea that they want to pursue activism, usually social change, progressive social change, and we help them get started. We provide the tax status. We give them advice. We do all the accounting. We do all the interfacing with the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, and in the U.S., and with the CPAs that do the accounting and that sort of thing. We have 90 groups. It's $7 million a year in activity now, and it's growing very quickly.
You know, Andrew, when I consider the climate movement, it seems almost split into two camps. One is very science-oriented, and they almost take offense if you start talking about spirituality. And the other is spiritual, and science is kind of a sideline. Have you encountered this?
Well, activists are not easy to get along with in terms of, you know, the average population, because they are often very much concerned and angry over the circumstances that are destroying our surroundings. So it frequently leads to sort of a tough personality that's hard to get through to, and it's also not necessarily commensurate with a spiritual approach to life. So the consciousness in action, the first book that you referred to, is a way to try to encourage those people to integrate the sacred nature of life into their love for the planet or for the social concerns that they have.
You know, I know some people are going to laugh at this idea, but I wonder whether Gandhi or Nelson Mandela could ever get elected in the U.S. Could we ever see our way through to the day when an American president promises nonviolence and actual love towards the world and all the species?
Can't do it. You know, Jimmy Carter was like that, but he was afraid to use that language. I think Obama is like that, and he is only willing to, you know, use a particular way of speaking to the electorate. Why? Because you can't get elected that way. So these books, especially this new trilogy, the new creation story, it's about changing the world view. It's about changing society, and it's very hard to do that from the inside out. Obama's a perfect example. The most powerful person in the United States wants to make important changes for the environment and for peace and for relationship people to people, but it's very restricted in what he's able to accomplish. So how do we change that? Well, it's got to be a personal transformation that sees the world differently, a different attitude, a different worldview, a different way of relating to the earth and nature. Humans' relationship to the natural world needs to have new ways of being expressed so that the way we behave as a culture is able to be modified. It's a long process, and it's a person-to-person process, but it has started. I call it the Ecological Epoch. It's the title of the third book of the trilogy. The first book is called In the Beginning, and that takes us from the Big Bang to when humans became modern, Homo sapiens, which is 200,000 years ago. Second book is called Consciousness. It brings us from that beginning of modern human beings, the Homo sapien, to today. How consciousness, philosophy, and science developed up until the moment. The third book is called The Ecological Epoch, which shows us the ways that we've already learned to live and behave in ways that are sustainable and consistent with understanding the earth to be a sacred, a living system, that we, to benefit ourselves and add more meaning and joy to our own lives, as we deepen our understanding of what that's about, we are able to not only heal our own wounds, but heal the earth's wounds also. Now, there are millions and millions of people around the world that know this, but it's still a tiny fraction of the 7+ billion people, and we just need to build that movement into a larger accumulated group in order for the turning point to come into play and have that shift actually occur. I don't know if that's 10 million people needed, 100 million, but I know it's not half the people on the planet. I know it's a small percentage, maybe 2 or 3%, and that percentage is growing. The issue is whether it can grow quickly enough that the destruction we're doing with our economy, our outlook toward the earth as a resource and not a sacred space, whether that destruction will occur too quickly that we can gracefully transition. The Ecological Epoch is the 10th in a series of consciousness stages that Homo sapiens have gone through that I delineate from the beginning, from 200,000 years ago, the beginning of modern humans. And it's here to stay. It's not going away. It's brand new. It's a way of seeing the world. There are hundreds of books being written about it. But will it be integrated quickly enough to allow us to change gracefully? If it's not, the planet will make the change for us. That might mean that a significant percentage of the human population alive today will not survive.
Yeah, our whole landscape is likely to change bit by bit. We have to adapt to extreme weather events, fires, floods, heat waves. You've seen it, some of that in California. And even the insects and plants are going to rearrange around us. It's going to destabilize us mentally and add a new kind of confusion. Could it also stimulate the new awareness and movements that you're looking for?
Well, that's a basic premise of the three books, the trilogy, that the destruction we've caused has been the catalyst for taking the next step in the evolution of human consciousness. So that's what the new creation story is. Now that we are able to see the planet differently, we see the living systems, we see how the interrelationships work, we see that everything is interdependent, and we're learning this because of the necessity of understanding the destruction that we've caused and how to fix it. So, yes, it all is interrelated, and I don't know that the changes may seem gradual now, but remember, gradual, 100 years in geologic time is a blink of the eye. And so when you have we've never had 7 billion people before. We had 1 billion people in 1800. So anything that humans did to insult the Earth could be absorbed by the Earth. By the time 1945 rolled around, when I was born, we started exploding nuclear bombs, and our population had grown to 2.5 billion. Well, now it's 7+ billion, and that's too many people to be able to gradually adapt to major changes. For example, the rainfall will probably increase with global warming, but it will not fall on the agricultural lands where it's needed. Some of it will, and some of it won't. When we start having massive starvation, people aren't going to just stay where they are and die. They're going to get up and move, and they're going to move to their neighbor, and there's no room in neighboring countries. The planet is too full. So what's going to happen? Social chaos. So this is the non-graceful transition. We can do it gracefully. There's still time, but it means that we have to put a major focus on, especially on the global warming issue, the climate change issue. Otherwise, agricultural destabilization is the first stage, and we're beginning to see some of that.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with the seasoned environmentalist out of Los Angeles, Andrew Beith. We're talking about his new series, The New Creation Story. Andrew Beith, do you believe that Earth itself has a consciousness, which we could call Gaia?
Tricky question. I believe there is a disembodied consciousness that isn't about human beings, and that human beings tap into that consciousness in order to gain a deeper understanding of the nature of reality. So is that the Earth's consciousness? Is it the cosmos's consciousness? Is it the creative source's consciousness? Whatever you think of the creative source as being, there is consciousness that's not about human beings, yes. Is it only Gaia? Gaia is a living system, and all living things have consciousness. Humans happen to have self-reflective consciousness, so they think about consciousness and they write books. But that's all kinds of other beings have consciousness, and the Earth itself, there is an Earth consciousness along with a much larger gestalt of consciousness.
So we don't really know how human consciousness connects us or why sudden waves of thought pop up all over the world. The psychiatrist Carl Jung called it synchronicity. He's a favorite of mine. There are lots of people out there who hope, maybe they even pray, that a wave of awareness could spread rapidly across the globe and drive us towards action, not just on climate change, but our whole relationship to nature. Is that your hope, and is there any sign that it's coming?
Yes, that's the hope, and hope's a good word. Optimism is not such a good word. There aren't any signs that it's coming. The signs are that the business as usual, corporate mentality and creating more stuff for more and more people and larger populations, especially like those of China that are just coming into wealth, is more likely to occur. However, magic does occur. So even though there's no rational way of thinking about the problem to believe that it can be solved, there might be non-rational, magical interventions that can solve it. And I believe that the more people understand the human's relationship to nature and to Earth as a sacred relationship, the more likely that those magical interventions might occur.
Andrew, where are you in this project? Are all three books of the New Creation Story finished and out there?
Book 1 and 2 are available on Amazon and finished. Book 3, I'm even today finishing the final edit, and it'll be available in about 30 days.
Okay, now how do you approach such a large topic? I mean, can we expect to find science fiction, stories from people you've met, or what?
No, it's scientifically based, anthropology, quantum mechanics, psychology, Carl Jung, you mentioned, major player, and it's got a substory, and the substory is the creation story. So we learn how the Earth was created, where life came from, the chemicals morphing into living things and becoming human eventually. We learn all that, but there's a substory that is the creation story, how humans are part of everything that has occurred since the Big Bang forward. So yeah, I reference lots of scientists and lots of philosophers. I don't use stories of people. I use my own story. The creation story is the story. And so the idea is that the stories we have, including the Bible, are useful to a point, but they don't take into account the circumstances and the challenges that we face. So the more we can create a story that is appropriate to our circumstance, the better we understand our condition, or the human condition in life and our situation. The better we understand that, the more we're willing and able to face up to the challenges, the very difficult challenge of solving these problems that could sink the ship. I don't think humans are going to disappear, but things could get bad to the point that a large percentage of the human population could die off.
Can you give us a web page where people can go to find out about this series? And do you have a Facebook page where people can follow up with you?
You know, it's so new. These two books are only out a month. Yes, they have a website. The books have a website that can be accessed. It's called newcreationstory.com. So it's the title of the book without the T-H-E in front. newcreationstory.com. The books can be found on Amazon just by putting the title in or my name, Andrew Beath, B-E-A-T-H. And there is a Facebook page that the publicist is developing, and I don't know how to tell you how to reference that yet.
All right. Well, we'll look for it in a little while. I'm sure we can just Google it. Is there any final message or thought you would like to leave with our listeners as we wrap up here, Andrew?
Well, I'd love people to check out the new creation story and start thinking about the world a little differently. You know, how does one's life relate to the earth and nature and the beginning of time as a part of their own story? I think the biggest difficulty is our history, our written history, is so short compared to humans. Even the 200,000-year modern human, we've only had writing and literature for a few thousand years, 3,500 years. So we need to look at the whole story behind that in order to understand who we are. When we understand who we are, we will influence our neighbors to behave differently, and that's the thing that will help make this change in a graceful way instead of a chaotic way.
Our guest is longtime environmental activist and author Andrew F. Beath. We've been talking about his trilogy, The New Creation Story, Spirit, Eros, and Climate Chaos. Find out more, as he says, at newcreationstory.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
You're welcome.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio. For the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.